Awesome job. Good morning to everybody.
Good morning.
Looked like we had some rain last night. At least I thought we had some rain.
We had some this morning.
Was it this morning?
Yeah, a trickle.
Yeah, I walked outside.
We need a flood.
Yeah, we need a flood. Then we'd be like, Lord, make it stop raining. Yeah, I walked outside to go look at the garden. I was like, what is over the water out here? I've been watering the yard too, so amen. 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 Guys, we're going to be over in Mark chapter 1. This morning, and last couple of weeks, we've had some great messages about understanding our part and the church's part, which I thought was really cool. It was really great and encouraging understanding what our duties are and what the church's duty is. We also had a great lesson by Scott talking about us to focus on the light. You can't do nothing in this world unless you're focused on the light. You need light to illuminate things so that things can get accomplished, and Jesus is our light. And then we had another great lesson about revival. I feel like a lot of times we just need revival all the time. Just need to be revived in our life. And so this morning we're going to keep going kind of on those themes there. Everything seems to be focused on understanding that we've got to be busy. We've got to be doing our part.
Yes.
You know, we just can't sit around and, hey, maybe somebody else is going to do it, you know. But no, we've all got to pitch in and do our part.
Amen.
You know, people in this world are looking for something or someone to follow. It's just true. That's the society we're in. We have influencers, young, old, single, and couples. You see them all the time on TikTok and Facebook. People get paid to be influencers. We have trends that people are following, like van life. Digital media, TikTok, and RV life. And some of these people I look and follow, like, wow, this young girl named Sarah, her and her dog, I forget the dog's name, and she lives in a van and she just travels everywhere. Loves the life, just free. I was like, wow. You know, and then you have the older couples. I don't think they're old. They may be seniors. They're old. They bought a 35-foot RV and they said, one couple said, you know what? It took us some time to get behind it, but we had to figure out how to get rid of furniture out of a house that was 3,000 square foot and compacted down.
Ooh.
To get in our RV. She said, but once we did it, we got there and we loved it. Yeah. And they live an RV life. And they started a group called Someday. And so it's a group of RV people that travel, and this group connects with each other and they meet up at different points. And they just stay together in their RVs hanging out. I thought, wow.
Yeah.
No, just making life happy, you know. You know, people want meaningful purpose in their life.
Yeah.
They want to attach themselves to something or someone that can give them purpose. They want their ordinary lives to be interrupted. That's what
Amen.
People want.
That's right.
You know, there are moments in life when God speaks a word so clear, so disruptive, so undeniable that everything just stops. It's not because we planned it, not because we were ready, but because Jesus stepped into our ordinary and called us into his extraordinary.
Right.
That's what happens when he says, follow me.
Amen.
You know, when he says, follow me, this is not a suggestion. It's not an invitation to convenience, not a spiritual upgrade. It is a summons to surrender. If we want to experience the extraordinary, then we are going to have to get behind something or someone and follow. That something or someone is Jesus.
Amen.
And he is the only one that can give us the extraordinary that we're looking for.
That's right.
Mark chapter 1, verse 16-18, it says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Verse 17, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Mm-hmm. At once, they didn't think about it, but at once they left their nets and followed him. Point one, follow me. And actually, that's the title of the lesson today. Follow me. You know, imagine being a fisherman on that boat during that time. Just imagine. didn't fish in that boat during time. You grew up on the Sea of Galilee. Your father fished. Your grandfather fished. Your whole identity is tied to those nets. Every morning before sunrise, you will push your boat into the water, cast your nets, and hope for enough fish to feed your family. One morning, you see a crowd gathering on the shore. A rabbi was teaching. You had heard rumors this rabbi healed the sick, cast out demons, and spoke with authority. You keep washing your nets, listening from a distance. Then the rabbi turns toward you. He steps into your boat. He teaches from your boat. He fills your boat with fish more than you have ever caught. And then he said the words that changed everything. He looks at you and say, "Follow me." You look at your nets in your hands, your livelihood, your identity, your security. And then you look at Jesus, his power, his presence, his authority. This is what you call a counting of the cost moment for you. You know, the scripture says, when he said follow him, it says they immediately left their nets and they followed. They walked away from the life they knew because they saw the life they were meant for. Do we see that when Jesus tells us to follow him? Do we see the life that we were meant for? The life we were meant to continue in, to follow him? It says immediately becomes a signature word, and the rapid response of the fishermen's reflects the urgency of the kingdom. Do you sense urgency like we used to? Is there still urgency about the kingdom? You know, breaking into our ordinary lives. The authority of Jesus, who commands allegiance without negotiation. Do you find yourself trying to negotiate with Jesus still about following him? You know, some days following Jesus is easy, man. I'm on. I'm team Jesus. I'm down. And some days, Jesus, can we talk for a minute? Can we just take a break? Can we sit down and have a conversation? Do we find ourselves trying to negotiate with his authority? You know, the nature of discipleship is a radical reorientation. It is not casual association.
Right, that's right.
You know, these particular scriptures, they are a powerful picture of how God's call redefines our identity, vocation, and future. Are we listening? Are we hearing God? Are we heeding the call to follow, to still have that heart to follow? You know, is immediacy still firmly planted in your heart when it comes to following Jesus? Do we still have the heart, the mindset, the attitude of like, man, I need to be immediately on this. I need to be ready to go. There needs to be a sense of urgency in me. You know, I think about the lesson about, you know, the church's part and my part. Do I have urgency about doing my part instead of waiting on the church to do his part?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, think about, we talked about revive. Is there still an urgency to like, man, I want to be revived here. I want to get up under Jesus' authority. Man, I want to continue to experience this radical reorientation in my life called discipleship. Do you still feel the urgency of the kingdom breaking into your life today? Do we still feel that?
That's a good question.
You know, do we still feel the urgency of the kingdom breaking into our life today? Man, have you fully surrendered to following Jesus yesterday, today, tomorrow? You know, yesterday was a good day when we went in the water. I'm all down. A couple of days after that was good. But now we're living in tomorrow. Are we still fully surrendered? Do we understand discipleship is a radical reorientation, not casual Christianity? You know, there was an educator named Lawrence C. Jones who founded the Piney Woods School in Rankin County. It's on Highway 49. Some of us know where that's at. In 1909, with just three students under a cedar tree, an old sheep shed, I should say in an old sheep shed, in 1918, tensions and opposition led an armed white mob to seize and drag Jones out to hang him. They asked him if he had any final words before they were going to lynch him. Using his powerful public speaking skills, Jones spoke passionately about the necessity of education and talked to the men about his vision to educate poor children. This mob was so moved that rather than harming him, they lowered their weapons, took off their hats, passed around, took up a collation to donate to his school.
Powerful.
That's some deep conviction.
Yes.
That's some deep conviction to stay the course, to stay passionate about what it is that you're doing and what you're following. The great thing about this story is I think about, man, how God worked in this. That's what I think about. We need to have the same conviction that Lawrence E. Jones has. You know, because of that passion, because he did that, you know, he addressed illiteracy rate, well, I should say, he addressed an illiteracy rate near 80% among black residents in rural Rankin County. That school grew into 500 acres teaching liberal arts and vocational skills. And Jones later summarized his philosophy, "No man can cause me to stoop low enough to hate him."
Wow.
Is that not symbols of Jesus?
Yeah.
No man can make me stoop low enough to hate him. And people can stir you up.
Yeah.
People can prick something at your heart, man. Make you feel some kind of way. But I think we can take something from Jones. You're not going to make me stoop that low. You're not going to make me go that low. You know, no. And our source is Jesus. Our great example is Jesus. We're going to be on Luke 9:23. Second point, we're going to talk about conviction. I think Jesus is the ultimate example of conviction. But I think Mr. Jones gives us a great example of what conviction looks like. When you stand on something that you believe. Luke 9:23, we know it well. It says, "If anyone comes after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." You know, that scripture and that moment, I believe in their lives, changed everything. It should be changing everything in our lives when we see those words. You know, following Jesus is about death to self.
Yes, that's right.
You know, what if following Jesus costs more than we expected? Picture a disciple standing at a crossroads. On one side, there is comfort, familiarity, predictability, the life that you have built. Wow. On the other side, a path Jesus is pointing toward is uncertain, stretching, and costly. You know, when Jesus tells them they need to deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow him, I can imagine the disciples maybe whispering and said, "Lord, I didn't know it would be this hard."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's not hard that you're on the journey. It's hard the fact that, oh, it can't be about me. I got to deny me. Oh, man, I got to carry my cross. I've got to, you know. Now, understanding that the cross is meant to help us live an extraordinary life.
Yeah.
You know, when Jesus is asking us to deny ourselves, all we can see is, "I'm giving up all this stuff. We think these things are just so amazing." And Jesus says, but you know what? On the other side of that crossword, on that crossroad, there are more amazing things greater than these that is waiting for you.
Yeah.
Follow me. Jesus says, follow me. Not follow me when it's easy. Not follow me when it fits your schedule. Not follow me when the cost is low. He just says, follow me. Jesus gives a three kind of part rhythm here. She's not a suggestion, but identity markers. Number one, deny yourself. The surrender of the throne. Mm-hmm. We all have a throne that we claim to in our personal life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got to surrender that throne. You know. We've got to dethrone our egos. We got to dethrone our pride. You know, denying ourselves. It's not about safe hatred. No, Jesus is not about that. But it's about self-replacement.
Yep.
You know, denying ourselves daily means no to the flesh. And we talked about that in Revive, having a revival. Talking about no to the flesh so that we can say yes to Christ.
That's right.
If you're saying yes to the flesh, then you're saying no to who? You're saying no to Christ.
That's right.
Another moment in discipleship he talks about here is taking up your cross daily.
Every day.
That means to embrace God's will. I feel like in this poem we do a lot of negotiation. God, I don't know if I want to carry this cross today. You know, Roman listeners knew the cross meant death, shame, and surrender. You know, the cross is not a one-time dramatic moment, but it is a lifestyle. The cross is not a burden you choose. It's an obedience that you accept. You ever think about sometimes that there's something still that you've not put on the cross yet, even at this point in your life?
Yeah.
Something you still fight with, you're still struggling with. And Jesus said, all you got to do is just nail it to the cross. That's it. Nail it to the cross. You know, a daily cross looks like forgiving someone who isn't sorry. It just does. That's what a daily cross looks like. Forgiving someone who isn't sorry. Jesus sets the great example of that. Mm-hmm. He forgave us when we didn't know no better. When we weren't sorry. Genuinely sorry. You know, the daily cross looks like serving when tired. I think some of us have experienced that. But sometimes we get older, we feel like, I just can't go no more. And it's not to work yourself until your health falls apart, but it's to know, like, you know what? I may can give a little more on this day, a little more for a couple more minutes. You know, the daily cross looks like loving difficult people.
Yeah.
You know? And we're all difficult. I was talking to a lady somewhere in the hospital or something. We were talking and, you know, she's having a rough time. I said, you know, we're all difficult people, you know, but we have to remember that we're one of those people too. You know, I think we forget that when we deal with people who are difficult. We forget that we're difficult too. All we can see is right now, you're making my life difficult. That's all we can see. You know, but it's like, wait a minute. Let's try to understand human beings. You know, understand that they're difficult. We got to love them like Jesus loves us. You know, daily cross looks like choosing holiness when culture pushes compromise. Boy, does our culture push compromise.
Yeah.
It pushes compromise real big. But we have to choose holiness over that. Also in the scripture, he talks about follow me. This is the third point in the scripture. So we talked about deny yourself, take up your cross daily. He says, comes back to follow me. Not admire me,
right.
Not agree with me, but Jesus says, follow me. You know, discipleship, it is directional. Your feet move where his feet move.
Amen. Come on.
I feel like this is one of those things where we get back into, well, Jesus, we need to negotiate. Why are we going this way? This looks kind of scary. This is one of those, it looks uncertain. But our feet need to move where his feet move. Jesus never calls us to a path he himself didn't walk. Do you ever think about that? At all the times you read the gospel, everything that he did, he endured, did you ever notice he has never called us to a path that he didn't walk? Even right now, if you look at the gospel, think about, man, I have not experienced what he's experienced so far, because he experienced a lot.
Yeah.
But he sets the example of, I'll be the example. I will endure it so you know that you can do it. When you follow Jesus into hard places, something supernatural happens inside of you. It just does. Your faith stops being theory and it becomes reality.
Right.
Examples of that is Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego.
Amen.
What a great example. Their faith was not, it was theory when they was talking to King Nebuchadnezzar. But guess what? He put them to the test. They walked in with faith and it became reality.
Yeah.
You know, when you follow Jesus into hard places, something supernatural happens inside of you. Like your love stops being emotion and it becomes endurance. Your hope stops being vague and it becomes unshakable.
Amen.
Your identity stops being fragile and it becomes rooted in Christ. Costly obedience chisels you into the likeness of Jesus.
Amen.
And nothing in this world is more beautiful than a life that looks like Him.
Amen.
You know, I think about icons and people that that people in this world wanted to look like. I remember in the 80s, he used to have a song by Michael Jordan. You remember that song? Sometimes I feel that he is me. Boom, 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 boom. Mm-hmm. That's when Michael Jordan was at the height of his career. And all the kids said, I want to be like Mike. If I could be like Mike. It was a commercial he had about Michael Jordan. And then there was Michael Jackson, the king of pop. The penny loafers.
Yep.
Put the penny in your penny loafers. You weren't afraid to wear high waters back then. You know, the jacket, Jerry curls were in. Those things like that, you know. Oh, what about, I think about Def Leppard and rock and roll. Donald Clay, I don't know who it is. And all the crazy hairdos that they wore. There were people back then who had this type of influences on us, and we wanted to look like them. We were willing to allow ourselves to be chiseled and look like those individuals. But you know what? Jesus is the greatest person that we can look like.
That's right.
The greatest person we can allow ourselves to chisel, to be chiseled to look like. Do you still have that fire to follow Jesus? Is it still burning? Is the flame even more higher today than it was when you stepped in the water? So what is Jesus asking you to deny today? You ever think about that? What is he asking you to deny today? What has he been asking you to deny for days, weeks, months, and years? There's always that one thing that's still lingering in our lives that we're still having a conversation about. But Lord, you know, I think I don't need to let that go. But I don't think that's bad as theirs. What cross is he asking you to pick up? You know, he needs you to pick up the cross that you keep ignoring. And he needs you to carry it. And we do ignore some things. Because it's painful. We hate dealing with it. Our emotions get round all up in it. There's just some things that we like, oh, I wish it just go away. I wish it just go away, Lord. Some things that wake us up in the middle of the night, we be thinking about it. Like, why am I thinking about this? I wake up at 4 a.m, why is this on my mind? Or something somebody does, or you see someone on the news or TV, or you hear something, and it just triggers that thought or that thing that you need to deal with. And you're trying to find every other way, every excuse to not deal with it. But the Lord needs us to what? I need you to nut up to the cross. I need to carry that cross and deny that part of you.
That's right.
What steps of obedience is he calling you to take? Mm-hmm. Obedience is a great word. It's an awesome word. I think it's a great thing that God has given us. And I think it's a challenging thing. It's a challenging word. Because it's calling us to change. God wants us to change to be more like Jesus. God wants us to be better. God wants us to be holy. God wants us to be revived. Discipleship, we have to understand, is not perfection. It is not perfection. Discipleship It's direction.
Yes.
Jesus is trying to lead us in a certain direction. We just have to get behind him. Discipleship is not perfection. It is not dramatic moments. It is a lifestyle that follows Jesus.
That's right.
Discipleship is not self-power. I'm going to do it all my own strength, my own will. I can make it happen. It's going to be me, me, me. No, sir. It's not self-power. Discipleship is spirit-powered,
yes.
Spirit-led. Mm-hmm. You know, as we continue to follow Jesus in our walk, as we continue to answer the call when Jesus says, follow me, we need to understand what that means. It means my preference bows to his purpose. And we are people who have a lot of preferences.
Yes.
It means my comfort bows to his calling. And we are people who love what? Comfort.
Yes, sir.
Means my opinions bows to his words. And man, do we have a lot of opinions in us.
Yeah.
It means my identity bows to his lordship.
Amen.
And do we struggle sometimes with people being lord over us? And that's including Jesus. We have to understand that if Jesus is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all.
That's right.
I'm here to tell you the world will not applaud your decision to follow Jesus. This you should know. The world is not big on us following Jesus. And Jesus warns us of that. He spoke of it over in John 15:18 when he says, if the world hates you, keep in mind, it hated me first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, following Jesus means that we will be misunderstood at times.
Yeah.
It happens. It means we will be what? Rejected. It happens. We will be opposed. People don't want Jesus to come. It means we will be pressured to compromise. That's what following Jesus means. But you will also be empowered, protected, strengthened, and filled with the Spirit. The world may hate us, but we have to remember, heaven has our back.
Yes.
So there's a couple of practicals, guys, as we're closing out here, about just remembering that Jesus has called us to follow him.
Mm-hmm.
And we do not need to get off the trail. We do not need to get on the exit of compromise, the exit of comfortability, the exit of I need to negotiate. We just need to follow. We just need to follow.
Yes.
Even when it stretches us to places we don't like, we need to follow Jesus. A couple of practicals on how to follow Jesus daily. Number one, we mentioned over in Luke 9:23, deny yourself. Say no. Say no to the flesh. So you can say yes to Christ. Your desires should not lead. His words should.
Amen.
Amen.
Number two, let's continue to take up our cross. Even the things that we have been denied, not wanting to see, it's still there. It's not going nowhere. Let's take up our cross. Let's carry obedience even when it costs us.
Yes.
A cross is not an accessory that you wear around your neck,
no,
wear on your wrist, hang up in your house. A cross is not an accessory. It is an assignment. Pick up your assignment and carry it. Three, drop your nets. Let go of anything that competes with his lordship. And we know we have tons of things that's always trying to compete with Jesus' lordship in our life. We need to let go of anything and everything that competes with his lordship. Talking about old habits. Toxic relationships.
Yeah.
Secret sins.
Mm-hmm.
Misplaced priorities. You know, the sin may be secret to me, but it's not secret to Jesus.
That's right.
Always remember that.
Yeah.
We may walk amongst each other and think, oh, they don't know. But yeah. Jesus knows.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus knows. Number four, walk behind him. Follow in Jesus, walk behind him. Not ahead of him, you're not leading Jesus. Not beside him, but get behind him. Let him lead every decision.
Amen.
Let him lead every decision. Number five, live sent. Live a sent life. You have not just been saved. You are sent.
Yes.
Your life is a billboard for the gospel. You have to remember that. Your life is a billboard for the gospel. So what does this mean for us today? You have a new assignment. You may be familiar with the assignment. Maybe the assignment's got some dust on it. But you have a new assignment. Follow Jesus wherever he leads.
Amen.
You have a new identity. You are a disciple. You are not a casual believer.
Amen.
Casual believers, they attend services just to warm seats. They're searching for purpose and meaning. You are not a casual believer.
Amen.
And to get some clarity on that, it's like having a job. You can't hold a job and be a casual employee. If you go to college and on campus, you cannot attend campus and be a casual student.
Right.
There are consequences to that.
Right.
You cannot follow Jesus and be a casual believer.
That's right.
You got to be active and you got to be following. So ask yourself, what nets do I still need to drop? Did we really drop all our nets? What nets do I still need to drop? I remember back in the old days, say, did you go back and pick the nets up? Sometimes that happens. Sometimes we get lost, we get fuzzy. You go back and you pick the nets up and you realize, why am I picking this net back up? It's snagging on everything, slowing me down. What nets do I need to drop? What part of my life is still under my control instead of his? Oh, man. Control, control, control. We love control because we feel like if we're in control, then everything is going to work out right.
Right.
But I don't know if you've had a moment when you felt like you was in control and it just didn't work out right. And then what's your next response to that? I'm going to apply more control.
Yeah.
And it gets worse. Yeah. Apply more control. And God tried to tell somebody, hey, be quiet. Listen, you're doing it wrong. If you just let go and let Jesus lead, it will get better. Where is Jesus calling you to obey today? Jesus is calling me every day to obey in something. I can tell you that for myself personally. Every day he's like, all right, you need to obey in this area today, Sydney. You need to obey in this area today. You need to make it happen. And if I choose not to obey today, guess what? I wake up the next morning. This thing is still here. We need some obedience in this area today. It's not going to go nowhere. It's not going to go nowhere.
Right.
Ask yourself, who is watching your life and learning what discipleship looks like? All the friends that you have outside the church, co-workers, people you run into, people that are used to seeing you and they know who you are. They know that you claim that you follow Jesus. What are they seeing?
Good question.
What are they seeing in you? You know? Sometimes we never think about that. We think, oh, they know I'm a disciple, they know I'm good, but what are they seeing? People, the minute you say, I'm following Jesus, and you're trying to call them to Jesus, to follow too, they become the most top-notch investigator there is, and they're always looking. They're looking for the crack, man. Mm-hmm. They're looking, trying to see what's going on. But what they should see is like, you really are following Jesus. Mm-hmm. Hey, you really are doing that. Wow.
Right.
You always have to ask yourself, what are people, when they watch your life, what are they learning when they see your discipleship?
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you what they should learn, what they should see. They should see an extraordinary person. And not an ordinary person.
That's right.
We have to remember, following Jesus is not a moment. It is a lifestyle. Jesus is still walking along the shores of ordinary lives. trying to change them, trying to tell them, follow me, follow me, follow me. He is still stepping into the boats of many lives, preaching sermons to their hearts and their mind, trying to get them to look toward him. He is still calling people to be disciples.
That's right.
That's what he's still doing.
That's right.
And today, and right now, although all of us are disciples, he's still calling us to follow him, to continue to carry your cross, to continue to deny yourself, and to look like him.
Amen.
Follow me, Jesus says. Not later, not someday, not when life slows down. Jesus says, follow me today, tomorrow, and forever.
Amen.
Let's go to God in prayer.